Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark Amove TV for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back, everybody. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Garrett Weinzerl. I'm joined by Kyle Ferguson, who is back from his vacation, where he may have seen me in person for a very short part of it, and I miss him already. But also joining us is Mr. Jeff Cannata, because of our fantastic, awesome, badass, dope as hell patrons over at patreon.com/ITN. Thank you for letting us hit that goal, everyone. Welcome back, gentlemen. Both, like, I can actually say that and mean it, because, Jeff, it's usually always a few episodes before we have you on here. And Kyle, you actually missed an episode of Into the Nexus, I think. First time ever? Maybe second time?
Was it really? Maybe. Yeah. Well, awesome job with Dunk. That was a delight to listen to. Yeah,
I agree.
A lot of insight going in. And, of course, I was just shocked sitting on the plane going, really? We all expected Murky to be something, but it's a deal. It's a thing.
Yeah, Murky is the harbinger of death at the moment in the Nexus, and you should all run from him. You and I, Kyle, actually had a game just before the end of the work day. It's fun because we can say that playing Heroes of the Storm is work. it went mad long. We had like a 40-minute Garden of Terror game, and it still worked out. You know why? Because I was on Murky. I mean, your Gazelle helped a bit, too, but I was on Murky.
You did most of the work, really. I mean, the March of the Murlocs is just looking like guaranteed keep kills, if not team fight winning, and just, everything about him is rather frightening at the moment. What a week to miss. I feel like I came back to an entirely new game.
Yeah, man. It's funny, too, because we didn't actually get a balance update this week, right? There's no new hero this week and no balance update. That hasn't happened in a long time.
Seems that way. And we are on the cusp of changes again. I'm still waiting for that Leoric rework. We're sitting on the edge of who knows what for next hero.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that later. But yeah, I'm glad we didn't get a balance update this week for no other reason than I want you to experience the game as it is now before any murky nerfs come in, and I didn't have to in the span of 1 week recant you like the history of the meta you just missed as if it was something that happened in the past.
Yeah, you don't understand, man. Murky was crazy. It was like first pick versus ban Murky. You don't understand. You understand. It was like everybody, if you played Murky, you won the game. It's crazy. I know it's gonna sound insane, but I promise it really happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an accurate assessment.
I've been playing a ton of Murky as well. And I mean, I was like right on the cusp of my Master Skin Murky, and this week I got that, and it's been so much fun. I played him a long time ago and kind of left Murky for a while. I'm not really one of those guys that loves specialists. I don't click with very many specialists for some reason, whatever that reason is. But Murky was always the one that was in my hip pocket if we ever needed a specialist. Haven't really been in a specialist meta for a while. But man, it's so fun to revisit him again, and you are right. It's like – it's you feel OP. You're just tenacious and in it. And as you said, March of the Murlocs, man, especially at 20, when you can just sit back and just flood the world with Murlocs.
It's gross. It's gross. And we're kind of, you know, eating our own lunch before we even get in the news. But a nerf is coming. We'll detail in a bit. But before we get to that, I mean, there's quite a few things I wanted to talk about before we hit news, but also the final announcement. I want to remind everybody listening to me right now, the Heroes Charity Brawl is this weekend, this Saturday, February 25th at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I know I usually convert everything into Eastern on this show, but I'm not reading off my own talking points. So that's the time that it's on. And you can go to heroescharitybrawl.com for all of the information. It'll be streaming on the Frog Pants Twitch account. So that's twitch.tv/frogpants. And Kyle will be there. I will be there. And many, many other very talented Heroes podcasters are going to be there beating the snot out of each other to raise money for Make-A-Wish. So come on over, watch some fun games. Maybe you even get to play in it and donate towards Make-A-Wish.
It's awesome.
And if you haven't heard, these aren't going to be your most serious games in the world. We're talking like reverse draft. There's going to be a special surprise from the core. If you're a fan of Next Jeopardy, it's going to be madness.
I don't know what to expect. I don't have much time for listening to the podcast anymore because I'm too busy making them. So I don't know what you're talking about.
We're also already halfway to our fantastic meme-ish 3230 goal, which is incredible because we haven't even launched the event yet.
No, if I'm going over to the GoFundMe right now, we have raised almost $1,500 already. And
it's awesome.
We ain't done smack. We haven't done a darn thing other than tell all of you fine folks listening that this is happening. So that is awesome. So I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully Kyle doesn't make me rage to the degree that he tilted me last time.
I'm looking forward to it.
Making me tilt or just the event in general?
The whole thing in general. You know, the tilt is a bonus. We're so careful to balance out these teams all the time that I personally look forward to the charity brawl because I get to break things and I enjoy that naturally.
Nice. Very nice. Well, I was curious, gentlemen, you know, it's been a lot of things happening in Heroes lately, but most specifically, I wanted to ask you, how have your games been going since the Warcraft Mount Quest went live? There's definitely some newcomers for sure. We're hearing from folks personally, and also if you're paying attention to places like the subreddit, there's just new people coming, and a lot of them are like, oh, I just came for the mount, but hey, apparently this is a really fun game.
Yeah, I mean, if there was any doubt that these things work for Blizzard to do, then the proof is in the pudding, because I've had more games with level 10 people, level 12 people, you know, level 30 people. There's been new players as far as the eye can see, and anecdotally, my own friends who, you know, just want to get that sweet WoW mount are hopping in the game. So that's great. You know, this game needs an influx of players. In practice, it's been a little frustrating for those of us that are, kind of having to endure a level of play, I think, that has taken a major dip with a bunch of new players. But, I'll put up with that in order to enjoy a game with more friends.
I think that's a fair assessment. You know, I wonder, Kyle, we didn't check if Mr. not staying with the group Tyrael in our 40 minute game earlier was a new player or not. I wonder.
The event for the Warcraft Heroes is all the Warcraft Heroes. So I think,
oh, you're right. You're right. Just, that, well,
his name was Zerg, and I think he was playing in that style. He died and he ran out of the gate, respawned, did it again. 18 deaths, top damage.
Wow. Thanks to his 18.
Level one. Yeah. Yeah. 18 deaths on this Tyrael. I've never even seen that number that high, but he had top damage thanks to his level one talent pick that gives him 25% more death damage.
I think Leroy Jenkins had top damage as well. It's basically the same philosophy, right? Just get in there, baby.
You know what's kind of funny is you look at the win rates for Heroes this past week, and if you go to Quick Match, you see them tanking a bit. It's funny to see Uther, Brightwing, Malfurion. Malfurion is at the bottom of the win rates right now in Quick Match. Wonder why? Well, because of this event. Lili is also down there. Tyrande. It's funny to see.
Well, the only part of this that really irks me, and I've said this before, but I wish that in matchmaking, Blizzard would take into account number of games played. Because, you know, especially when you get into a situation where a person who has, like, 25 games played, and I have over 3,000 games played on my account. Yes, my MMR is not great. I will be the first to admit that. But when you have a person that has like 25 games played in an unranked, you know, matchmaking game, it's fine, but don't make that person the banner. I don't understand. Okay, maybe their MMR in their 25 games played is better than mine. Okay, fine. But I don't think that they should be able to ban when they clearly have no idea what they're doing.
Oh no, Jeff, are you, I mean, real talk time. Are you just mad because somebody with 25 games played got to ban and you didn't?
Well, it's fine if they know what they're doing. If they make any kind of people were like, ban Murky, and they banned Brightwing because they thought that the icon looked like Murky.
Oh, well, you know,
I mean, that's yeah. It's just a little frustrating.
that one, I don't know why that one's really, really tickling me, because it's like, yeah, I can see the mistake. That's an honest, mistake.
Honestly, I laughed as well, and it was unranked. It was fine. I'm not going to, you know, gripe about an unranked game. But I think the principle of the idea, which is that Blizzard puts that person as the ranker when literally everybody else on the team was max level, you know, we had been playing a long time. It just seems a little ridiculous to me. Like, use experience level as a factor, at least a factor, please.
Yeah. Where would you then the question, of course, comes up, like, where would you set the line in the sand? Because I feel like wherever you put it, not everyone's going to be happy with it, right? Like, say it's 100, you know, there's always going to be a person like, oh my God, set it higher than 100. I got that 99.
I'm not saying have a bottom line. You know, I'm not saying like, oh, below that you can't be the banner or whatever. I'm just saying that in making matches, put my experience level, whether my MMR is good or bad, whatever, put me with people that have also played a whole bunch of games. Cause I think that investment level and the amount of time spent in the game, it should be a factor as to who I'm playing with.
Certainly when we're thinking like the last 2 weeks, this game moves so fast that I think the banner should just be whoever has played the most within a certain time frame.
Yeah. I would be all in favor of that.
Even if it's just Ragnaros bans on Towers of Doom, which I get because you're saying we don't want to be interrupted, but still, it's wacky. There are better bans in the world. Still, at least they understood, let's ban some rag here. And there's also problems with just banning right now in general, and there's going to be problems if we don't get a Murky nerf before it hits the pro scene, because Murky will get nerfed out, or he will get banned out, and that leaves Tassadar open, rag open. There's going to be some serious problems, and already we're going to see a big shift in those draft environments.
Hey, I mean, you make all good points. I mean, I would again, like, to a certain degree, I would make the argument of, especially with the meta moving kind of as quickly as it has been, like, as long as they click the right hero, like, Murky hasn't been a bannable hero except for the last week. So that is a relatively new thing. So I would expect even new players to know that. But I get it. I mean, obviously you kind of got to roll your eyes and it's like, ban Murky. I got it, guys. Brightwing.
Oh. Click. He's green and he's got a little, he's ridiculously cute. Come on. It's close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, I mean, the Warcraft quest seems to be a total success, seeing a lot of my guildmates popping up in Heroes of the Storm all of a sudden. And it's like, oh, hey, what are you doing? Oh, right. That's right. And in that case, let me group up with you because I want those sick mounts, too.
They're very quiet, aren't they? And they love their team fights, which is a lot different than, say, the Overwatch community when they came over. They were very verbose.
That's a polite way of saying it.
I would just say they're very Ariel happy.
Well, that too, but they did get that hero for free.
That's true. That's very true. But
And Overwatch is kind of a unique game like Heroes, where the supports are as active as they are.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's a good point as well. I mean, it's a shooter, so I would hope it would be active.
Yeah, it's been a funny time with the back to back of the Lucio release and then this WoW promotion. It does feel like the community itself has been a little strange. And then you have this this crazy idea of Murky being OP. It's a fun time. I'm having a blast. It's just unpredictable and wild.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting without even the WoW audience coming over, because we have so many heroes that take so much work to get good at and so much nuance. We're not just juggling between Kael'thas and Jaina, or these heroes that really sort of streamline together. Our top heroes right now are Murky, Anub'arak, Butcher, Lucio, Sammy, Hammer, Nazebo, like none of these. Can you just sort of say, I got this, like we did with old Kale Foss, where you just walked in and sure, there was a combo involved. It was very methodic. It's amazing how the hero diversity has increased the difficulty of drafting in that way. And for that reason, too, I request that we just start banning in whatever order we want. If Joe guy at the bottom wants to play Ragnaros, let him have it, because I can't maintain a roster that moves this fast. I'm not ready to first pick Rag for my team.
I feel the same way, man. I totally agree with that. I think that having that kind of responsibility to have Rag open up and be like, oh, and now I feel bad that I'm first pick rather than feeling excited that I'm first pick, because it's like, you're right. It's moving so quickly, and the heroes that you need to be good with, that's a big responsibility.
Yeah. And it's hard to keep practice up, right? Like with the way that it currently is, it's hard to keep practice up with key heroes like Ragnaros, because how often are you actually going to get that pick? But the one time you are first pick and Ragnaros makes it through, you feel like you're dropping the ball for everybody.
Right.
But, and again, I guess you could always be like, hey guys, no, you don't want me on Rag, just ban him. Just ban him. I know we can get him, just ban him.
Well, it's like, do you play Artanis? And you're like, well. Well, it's a weird world out there.
Yeah. Well, in that case, you know, at certain levels, maybe you should learn one of those two heroes.
Definitely. Maybe. Definitely. That needs to happen.
Yeah. Maybe be enough to be dangerous, you know, not to be. It'd be less dangerous than the other folks who could pick him up on your team. Anyways, I've been having fun this week playing Zeratul, of all things. I haven't touched him in forever. Like, I cannot remember the last time I played him. He's pretty high level. I don't have a Master Skin or anything, but I played him a lot back in the olden days, and I couldn't tell you the last time I touched him, but I was rather inspired by Sam on Tempo Storm, his sick Void Prisons recently. And so I was like, all right, I'll go have some fun and quick match. I'll even take him in unranked a couple times. And guys, I don't know what happened, but the best way I can describe it is... And I apologize if you've never played an RTS, because this will probably be lost upon you, but it felt like going back and playing Warcraft 3 after I had actually become competent with Starcraft 2. Because when I played Warcraft 3, I did it just for the story. I wasn't there to be competitive. I just wanted to, you know, see the stuff and went up and like moved on with my life. I had no idea how to play a real-time strategy game. And then Starcraft 2 came around. Kyle, you and I started doing a podcast. And lo and behold, there's control groups and shift queuing and micro and macro and all that kind of stuff. And then I went back to Warcraft 3 and I was just like, oh my God, mind blown. And that is exactly what's been happening after I've gone back to Zeratul now. I am punishing people so hard for the tiniest mistakes, and it feels amazing.
He's incredibly sticky.
Yeah. Yeah, and he can get away at the end. You can stick to them. You can let your life get ridiculously low, and then you just blink, and everything's fine. You get away scot-free.
And people have to understand that, too, and you have to watch the level one talent pick. I mean, it's usually going to be the Vorpal Blade. It's just too good, and it sort of has that flavor of a blink, and much like fighting Tracer, you have to count it out. 1, 2, 3, okay, that's all of those. Let's wait for the recall before we commit. And if you're not counting that out, then Zeratul is going to throw you for a loop and you're going to think he's amazing and you look amazing. That's one of the really cool things about new Zeratul is even if you're not great, you still look pretty good doing it.
That's a good point. Yeah, he's quite flashy. He's got that, I would almost say anime flair to him.
Yeah, no running with his arms back whenever that became a thing.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z. So it's been a long time, but yeah. no, so I don't know. So my what I wanted to bring to our opening, top of the show remarks is everyone out there, go and play a hero that you've forgotten about, that you at one time, for whatever reason, played quite a bit and maybe haven't touched in months. Like, just go back, see what you've learned, see how you can plug in what you've picked up over time into a hero that you used to like and for whatever reason, stop playing.
I actually did a very similar thing with Kerrigan recently. And really? It's so much fun to try a character that I really only played in the alpha and beta with the new understanding of how resets can work after getting really into Li Ming with our team league events. The ability to leap at a minion, kill it, get the reset on your Ravage, and then use that to cover the distance to the next guy is a ton of fun. Makes you feel really smart when you pull it off, and you completely surprise that poor guy on the other side who didn't expect the Kerrigan to cover the whole screen in distance.
Well, that's cool, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like chaining attacks in a like a third person action game, like Devil May Cry or something. You're like juggling enemies. That's awesome.
But do you have like a cool meter that tells you how stunning your sick combo was? No. Okay. Oh, well, that's great. Well, Kyle, I mean, this is the first time in forever you've actually taken a break from this game. What did it feel like coming back, man?
It was interesting because the vacation started off with us just doing a bit of marathoning here in the house, me and Kristen. We played 8 games and won one of those, and it was game number 2.
Ooh,
so
ouch.
6 game losing streak, and we're trying all of our old favorite combos. We're doing Asmodan Murky, one of our old favorites, just for push power. You make this sea of demons and Murky's weaving between it. We did Boyfriend Girlfriend with Sylvanas Variant, just flopped on its face. I assume anyway. I'm just assuming, but you know, if things had gone better on that shore, I think it could have happened. And we're just crashing and burning. And of course, I came back today, got in last night real late, just about every game I've played today. And I was so much more aware of what was going on around me. I was that much more interested in doing things correctly on Skeleton King, getting out my slow first, then doing the Drain Hope, and lining up those methodical moments where I could really maximize the value of my spell or increase the accuracy by knowing that someone was going to do a stun and waiting for that to shoot my skill shot. And it makes you think just how hungry you can be for a victory and how really blind and stupid you can get during those moments when you just want to win. And it makes you think about just all the back catalog that Blizzard has and whether or not they actually sit down and methodically, you know, wring their hands and go, ooh, should it go batwang or bong when he levels up? Which one gets in their head more and makes them feel better about themselves? Which one makes them, you know, spend an extra $3 on that sweet skin? You know, I don't think it's that evil, but they have a back catalog of knowledge and the online connectivity to see what we're up to all the time. And make sure that these games are as rewarding as possible to those centers of our brains. And I remember growing up and my parents had a no news rule in the house. There was never news allowed on the TVs. And I thought, well, that's weird. Why close your eyes to the rest of the world? That's an odd thing to do. And now I get it. You take those steps. You have to put that foot down at certain points in your life and say, I need to restrict my access to some of these things. And when it comes to competitive games that are just naturally addictive in the first place, by being competitive, and then you add all that knowledge and power that Blizzard has become aware of with time, and then you remove, which is particularly interesting, you remove physical exhaustion. You have mental fatigue, but if I go and play a game of soccer and I lose, My brain's going, oh, good job, Kyle. You got out, you exercised. All right. You know, you're exhausted. There's a certain amount of defeat amongst your body that lets your brain say, this is okay. We're fine. We're done for the day. Let's go hang with our friends. You guys on the enemy team, good job. I couldn't run as fast as that guy. You don't have that with video games. You can always queue up for another. And it really made me think about what ways I can sort of pre-plan to game healthier in my life.
Huh. I've never thought of it that way.
So what did you come to?
That the losses need to be analyzed, as I've always tried to do, but I need to see the success in it and make sure that I acknowledge what I accomplished there, maybe how I improved, and really grab and hone those things while moving forward. And for me, that was a commitment to tanking. That's what I'm going to go into the rest of the season with into next season. I thought about it a lot over the trip. I've turned off the chat, which has been huge for my positivity with this game. There, the times, you know, there's a guy, a I think what was I don't even remember Dishrag was his name. Dishrag the Falstad today. And he was fantastic. He Mighty Gus saved me three times, and I wanted nothing more than to thank him. But those moments are few and far between. And I love emotes in this game for me to be like, thank you on Uther, and let them know that I'm appreciative without having to reactivate the chat and then turn it off real fast. Yeah. I love tanking in this game, and certainly people should go check out my most recent video over on YouTube, Pally Pals, that I did with John Jagger, and it was a whole lesson on how to tank, and I just dig it. It's so strategic, the movements, the positioning. I just really love tanking, but people get in your heads, and if you're trying to lead a party and they're all back-sassing you, it can't be done. So I'm ready now. With chat off, I'm ready for that, and no matter which hero I pick of my many tanks, I know I'm always working towards the same goal. And then when I pick Tychus, I'm a tank buster, and I'm still getting to use those skills that I gathered, always moving forward.
I love that. One of the things that I've brought up many times in my interviews with the devs at Blizzard about this game is exactly what you said. I wish there were more emotes. I wish, because I'm a definite advocate for turn off the chat as well, and I wish there were quick. I wish it was the equivalent of Hearthstone, right? I wish there were quick ways to communicate to your teammates more than just pinging the map. And I don't know why they don't do that. I wish they did, but I do think that, especially if you're having, you know, if you're getting frustrated in this game, that's the one of the easiest, quickest things you can do is just turn off the chat, focus on what you're doing, focus on your team, and I think that it leads to a lot healthier gameplay style. And but it's unfortunate, right? You do want to have those moments where you just say, "Thumbs up, man, good job." And I wish, as you say, you didn't have to just quickly turn off the chat and turn it back on, because oftentimes that's problematic as well.
Yeah, that would be a lot of button presses. although Kyle, I don't know, man. You know, man, you get back up to your StarCraft APM level real fast when you do that.
Yeah, just well, I have been using the G button and making sure I diversify the pings and make sure that they communicate more than just ping, ping, ping someplace on the map. And that's something I've never really done much.
I think, though, honestly, that tiny little change that they made recently to relax the restriction on when your pings get timed out, you know, when you've done too many, I think that actually made a big difference, because now you can sort of communicate, at least I find that I'm able to communicate a little bit better to say, hey, please retreat there, please go here, please help us now here. You can do those pretty quickly, and I think that does it makes me at least feel a little bit better that I'm making a complete sentence rather than just a one-time plea.
Just like a caveman grunt, like,
retreat, come help, please.
I'm on my way. Yeah, yeah.
It's completely new for me, because I always had chat on these games, but my former mistresses, Dota and whatnot, just, they were more individualized. They're not as team-based. And I, as we sort of talked about on the show for years now, any bit of information can be helpful. I wanted to know if someone on my team was tilted. Nowadays, as we've continued to advance and learn about this game, you just got to assume that everyone's going to be there, because otherwise it's already lost in the first place. You might as well give your all anyway. One of the great things I've been seeing and noting while I'm trying to increase my pings and get better at that is some people have a very cool way of tracking stealth, and they'll do warning pings in a motion. And instead of just pinging, we don't have a missing ping yet, which is kind of crazy, but pinging in between the two lanes to say, hey, top is missing, maybe it's on its way, pinging as that stealthy walks. If you have the superior eyes for seeing that shimmer, you do warning pings on top of that guy as he walks along. And sure, you're going to run out of pings rather quick, but it helps people catch on. And it's amazing already, without really even playing any ranked as I've gotten back, just playing some tanks, how much being that shot caller for my team has changed everything.
I do exactly what you're talking about there. I kind of use my four pings to draw a path, like either to trace the stealthy I see or show the path that I'm taking somewhere, especially like if I'm a terror and I'm rotating between lanes or something.
Yeah.
It helps.
It's interesting that you bring up tanking, because I've been doing, I tend to be weirdly resistant on some heroes, and for some reason, ETC was one of those heroes that I was weirdly resistant. I know he was top tier tank for forever, But he just never really clicked with me. And I decided to learn him recently. And I've been playing a lot of ETC and having a blast with it. And you guys often talk, especially you, Kyle, about the thing that draws you to this game is feeling instilling the fear in people, right? And being so deadly that people are afraid of you. And I do enjoy that. I do enjoy being top DPS and kicking the smack out of people. But I have to admit, one of the things that I love about this game and that really endears me to it is swooping in and making a save, like knocking people out of the way as they're about to kill my buddy on my team, or healing, you know, being a support character and healing someone at the last second and you know, saving them from certain doom. That level of team play, that feeling of being the hero, but not because I dominated the other team, but because I saved my buddies, I think also combat some of that feeling and feeling like we're all in this together. I think it endears you to your teammates and it endears me to the game to be the guy that made you not die.
Yeah. What an interesting time period to bring that up as we sort of move out of a double tank meta right now where either you're winning or you're losing. And that's true of any game, but you know, when you have Sonya or Tanis as your front line, you're either marching forward with great victory or you're just falling apart. And people forgot how to solo tank. And it's not like you do with ETC and Artanis in that way. You walk in and then you power slide backwards. Once you make the engage for your team, it was just a normal sort of walk in. Hey, let's do this. Maybe I got my echo pedaled going, giving a little bit of damage in the area. That's fine. And as the Muradin leaps over you into your backline, you power slide backwards and adjust the frontline back. And that is so rewarding because you see your whole team just scatter to the wind and then they react to you fixing everything for them. Mm. And I'm glad we're moving out of that double tank in a way. It's an odd world. We're moving back into single tank in many ways in Hero League right now, where the pro scene has been slowly limping towards this, what I've been calling fortress comp, where it's like three tanks, one of them Zarya, and then you got like Zul'jin, and he's all the damage, or a Gul'dan or a Vala. It's very strange. And you get in these huge clashing engages that you think are just going to be the most exciting, awesome thing in the world, and they are visually, but then nobody dies and you're left sitting, oh, did something happen? What went wrong there?
It's like a turtle comp.
It feels like all of these bombastic heroes are going in and smacking the crap out of each other with foam swords. Nothing feels like it has. It feels unimpactful, right? We talked a lot about this on when Dunk was on, right? Just the issues with shields in general and the kind of the over reliance on them in the pro meta at the moment. I have to get this out of my brain. I have to backpedal real fast to Jeff saying, Kyle, it's awesome that you just want to instill fear and feel like a badass by murdering everyone. I prefer to feel like a badass by saving my friends. I like that we live in this. We live in an Avengers world, Jeff. It's cool. Kyle can be the Hulk. You can be Captain America, and we can all still get along. And I like that.
Yeah, I definitely. My whole life, I've tried to be Captain America to varying levels of success.
Cool. Well, just don't go.
That's
sign
why
up
I played
for...
Pally and WoW, man, because I could get a shield throw. And then I realized, oh, that's not even a great talent.
other than Zeratul, I've been practicing my Varian this week as well. Hey guys, I may have been watching some esports recently and been inspired to pick up certain heroes as a result of what I was watching. So I'm feeling like I haven't been in the tanking in a while, and you know, going tank spec Varian every single time. I miss it, man. It is fun. It is rewarding. And I get that. Like, I totally get what Jeff's talking about, because the amount of bacon I have saved this week with a well-placed charge and then some body blocking and taunt. Oh, my God, taunt. I forgot what it's like to ruin someone's day with that ability. It feels good, man.
I have a good win rate with Varian, but I have a hard time till 10. I know I go to him at 4, and I need like someone sitting here actually letting the chain go. I know I shouldn't. I know I'm not prepared. I know I don't have taunt or bonus health or anything, but I just can't stop myself. When I get to 4, I'm going in. I'm going to die.
Cool. Well, I want to see that tonight, Kyle. Bring that out. I want to see your inevitable death.
That needs to be an emote. I'm going to die.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Well, that is... That's good, man. This is, I think, the longest top of the show discussion we've ever had. But anything else to bring up before we move into news? No, everyone, cool.
I just not to beat a dead horse, but I just want to say, like, I love that that way Kyle framed it is about as much about mental health as anything else, and I think that's it's something that we can use being reminded of every now and again. So good on you.
And maybe expand that to other portions of your life as well. You know, too much of anything is exhausting, whether you realize it or not.
The horrifying thing about it is it has to be that purposeful, and you have to put it away, or it's not a big game by today's standards. Uninstall for the weekend. You know, do what you have to make sure that you have a healthy relationship.
Maybe that's what all those people that have told me to uninstall are actually trying to say. Just
take a break, bud. Take a load off. You earned it.
they're just giving me some solid mental health advice.
Take a little break. Stop yourself.
that's fantastic. Yeah. From now on, everyone, if you want a BM, the Into the Nexus approved BM phrase is take a break. Take a load off. All right, well, let's get into this week's Heroes News.
We're on, boys! Ah, let's liven up this place!
The moment is upon us.
Yes, I'd mana tap that.
We're on, boys!
I figured it out. My bumpers have been double playing this week, and I found it. There was a button pushed. There was a button that should have been pushed. Anyways, so we talked a lot about Murky at the top of the show. It looks like Team One, they are not in the dark. They are not unaware of the Murloc apocalypse that is upon us. BlizzNaemon tried to ease players' worries about how strong Murky is by replying to a Reddit thread saying, quote, "We hear you all. We're right there with you. We have some nerfs coming soon in the next balance patch." Soon TM. Sorry that the Nexus is a little slimier than desired at the moment. So I would expect to see this relatively soon.
Let's go around. Is this the worst it could be? For me, I think if there was a hero that was completely OP, that would make me just go, nope, not until this is fixed am I going to play. I think that'd be Lunar. If for some reason you could never limp away and survive at all, that poison damage, that's what gets me. Oof, in the yeah. core.
Yeah, and there's something that the idea of Murky being OP, but it's not like you can't kill him. You know, you can kill him. It doesn't matter that you kill him. But at least there's something psychologically that makes me feel a little bit better that at least I killed that guy. He's going to be back in 8 seconds. But at least, you know, it's not an unkillable hero.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't know. Maybe because I've been playing a bit of him. Like, it doesn't seem that bad. It seems like there's ways to get around this. And the big one is disengage when March of the Murlocs comes out. Don't fight in it. Why are you fighting in it? Yeah. Stop fighting in it. This isn't personal at all, I promise.
It's a field changer, and that's what makes it so difficult. When Stitches was king for a while, it's frustrating to just say, remember everything you know about this game? Excellent. Keep this huge rule in the back of your mind the entire time.
I think to answer your question, Kyle, if there was a hero that was OP that would frustrate me the most, it would be Nova. Because I hate Nova.
Really? Even with all the stealthies that have been coming out, Samuro, you got your Valeras now, still Nova's on the top of the list?
I mean, any stealthy that would be completely unstoppable would be very frustrating. I hate dying out of nowhere. I hate not seeing it coming at least a little bit. But for some reason, Nova, I hate her because she just stands over there and shoots her stupid pew pew gun, and it's annoying.
Yeah, it's true. When Zeratul gets you, you're left sitting there a little bit. Even as we just talked about, if it's not hard to do, you still sit there and go, "Well, well played, man. Well played." But she just walks. That gun turns and walks away with the ponytail flap, and you're just going, "Aw, you."
It's like getting aced by the hot girl in my class that wouldn't go out with me. That's what it feels like for me. I'm just like, ah, curses. No, I'm with you there, Jeff. Nova as well. The other stealthies they're all melee except for her. They have to put themselves in harm's way. And if you have any type of CC, you can ruin their day right back. Nova just, you know, she's for me is still like the ruiner of quick match. If there's a good Nova on the enemy team in my quick match game and I'm playing somebody with not a lot of hit points, that's the worst day of heroes of my life. Because it's like, oh, I'm Kael'thas in a quick match game with no warrior, no support, and there's a Nova on the enemy team. It's just that is the worst feeling.
The thing that sucks about Nova is that it sucks when she's on your team and it sucks when she's on the other team. Like there's no win situation there.
I've definitely had like moments I can recall. I don't remember the players' names, but I have had moments where there's been Novas on my team where I've gone out of my way to be like, yes, you are the shit. Thank you.
Yeah, but it's so rare.
Yeah.
The part is, it's always in quick match. It's never in Hero League where you're like, that, no wonder they play Nova. No, it's that guy in his Tracer Master skin in quick match that owns the entire group, and you're just like, what are you doing in this environment? Get in Hero League, draft that character, please.
Yeah, totally.
You're right. That's funny. You're right, because Tracer in Hero League just causes me to sweat. Yet when I come across the Tracer in Quick Match, I'm just like, that's a damn good Tracer. Why aren't you playing Hero League? But back to Murky. Kyle, you're back. Hit us with some facts, man. How do we counter Murky? Like, how do we deal with this beyond just don't stand in March of the Murlocs?
And I do want to get pretty deep into this because it's been a long time since Murky on release was a terror, and we all had to learn to deal. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't easy. And we had very, very few tools at that time, uphill both ways, to say that much. Right now, I mean, we're looking at 63% win rate in quick match because you don't possess the tools, or people aren't varying their specs to take advantage of those talents that really counter him. 57% right now in Hero League, which is still pretty impressive. He's participating in about half of the games. He is going to be picked early. You have time to make a counter. The real maps you need to be concerned about, the ones where you should probably just ban him out flat, are going to be Dragonshire and Garden Terror. That should make immediate sense to anyone listening. Vehicles. Vehicles and things that can't be dropped. Murky's gotten above 50% win rate on every map right now, but if you're going to drop your gems, not a great place for him. If you're going to drop your doubloons, still a great win rate, but not a great place for him. Load up Murky inside of a vehicle. He goes from this push power, this annoyance, to a true battlefield presence. Something I really like doing with Chromie, or any stealthy as well, putting them inside that vehicle and getting them to have more body than they had previously in the fights.
I still like him on places where I pick things up, but I just wait until 16 to pick things up.
And why is that?
I get my bubble heal, man. It's silly.
Ah,
it's just silly.
Yeah, I've been playing him a bunch, even on Blackheart's Bay, and you know, you just get to push a lane and make them deal with you, and hopefully the rest of your team can sort of collect the coins in the meantime. He's awesome.
And for that sort of Murky player, you need to put yourself in the mindset of that Asmodan that just doesn't care. He's going to keep pushing. He's going to get that keep. They used to do this with Zagara. Murky has did it on release. He's just going to keep coming, and it's going to be up to you, because you're the one in your game. You're the one trying to carry this thing as best as you can in Heroes of the Storm. Get an active global for your team, whether it's Falstad. Dahaka may not be as fast. The real key to beating Murky is going to be stickiness and attention. You need to make sure that you scare him so he runs for it, but you got to wait for the bubble before you commit. Falstad's one of my favorite counters because you're able to participate in the team fight, then go deal with the Murky or the Asmodan, whatever it is, but make sure that before you attach that lightning rod, that you get him to pop the bubble. Then once it's down, lightning rod it up, chase him to death, and get that little bit of XP for your team. Clean up the lane. Falstad's pretty decent at that.
That's a really good point. Yeah, the global there helps quite a bit. And I need to correct myself. Level 13 on rejuvenating bubble, not 16. I caught it.
Well done. Well, you saved us emails. One of the real things you can do to counter Murky, though, and this is just, it's so juicy. You got to use it. I'm not seeing it right now. Gathering power. This was an old general town that meant whenever you got a kill, your ability power would increase by percents. It's been removed from a lot of heroes. There are still some with it. What you're really looking for is that key middle ground of characters who have this ability to get kills. Murky counts as a full kill for one of these sort of towns and has the stickiness to complete the kill. And we've been talking about Zeratul today. He's got Grim Task. 5% more ability power every time you get a kill, and Murky counts as a full kill for that. Even though he doesn't provide full XP, you'll still get that gathered power. Increase yourself, hunt him down repeatedly, and then report to the team fight with a maximum of 50% more ability power. And as you can imagine, that's going to be your slash around you, your slow. There's a lot of ways to take advantage of that.
I think so few Murkies will be conscious of that and trying to, you know, worry about not giving you your ability power. I think that that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Tip. That's a good point. It's been helping me finish my Lion's Maw quest on Varian this week, as a matter of fact. So
another one is Tracer. She's got Untouchable. She was previously a Murky counter because of her attack speed. She still is because she has the stickiness to complete the kill. And 2% per kill, 30%. Bonus at maximum to your basic attacks. That does a lot. And if you can be the one to farm out Murky while still providing all those bonus tools, what I want people to avoid doing when they're versing Murky is going, let's lane. The bad plan, bad plan. You know, your head might go in the place of Rain, or mine does at times. Your Zul'jin, because I'm going to self-heal, I'll be able to outlast the Murky. I have some burst options with putting the mark on him from Zul'jin or using my penetrating shot with Rainer. But in the end, he's just going to attrition me out, even though I regenerate and I have no mobility, which means that 30%, 35% slower. So when he completes his quest is going to be brutal because that's the talent all of them are taking.
I've seen a lot of people been using Monk as a way to counter Murky because his attack speed can mess with Pufferfish and he can kind of get out of dodge pretty fast. And he's got sustain on the heal.
Which is understandable. And Monk is being recognized right now as a very high tier option for a secondary support. Mm-hmm. Plus, yeah, he has the stickiness that we discussed. You can use your dash to move around and make sure you don't get left behind with that slow. Right. Or when the bubble goes and he relocates himself. You've also got some.
Karsus is saying in chat room that Nova gets bribe stacks with murky kills. I didn't know that. I would recommend taking Nova in Hero League.
Hero takedowns grant 10 stacks of bribe. That's correct. So that'd be another counter for yourself. Granted, things might get a little weird there because Murky's going to be battling the same camps you might. Bribe is always going to be most powerful in a game where you're the only one with that sort of ability.
Yeah, and it's not Nova can counter his Pufferfish all that well.
But if you're restricting him and you're taking the camps fast him and you get a level lead on him, you're going to do fantastic with that option. You also have non-gathering power options as well, which just come in the base kit. Li Ming, critical mass. Now, I say that sort of tentatively because depending on the Murky player, Li Ming can be very easily countered. You get in her face, she's going to miss a lot of her magic missiles. She'll be casting arcane orbs that do a lot less damage that won't kill Murky. Come 13 when he has that heal, he's going to keep coming. He's going to take that arcane orb to the face, pop a heal, and keep being there. It's very restrictive. And often the Li Ming will run for it and continue to be pushed back by the Murky in her face. And then even if she gets a reset, she's too distant to rejoin the team fight. So you got to be careful with Li Ming, but it can be an excellent counter, particularly if you're doing Calamity.
Yeah. I'm one of those. I'm that Li Ming player, by the way. If you were in my face, you're safe. You're very safe if you were in my face and I'm on Li Ming.
I will say, and again, I'm in lower leagues right now, but I've been owning Li Mings with my Murky, just owning them.
Yeah.
They get overconfident. They do. And it's very easy to be in that position. So in that case, I would suggest either doing a full Arcane Orb build and expecting the Murky to mess you up and ignore him. Let your tanks maybe help manage the Murky off yourself. Don't run from your supports. Don't run from your tanks. Hey, maybe that'll actually go really well now that all the WoW players are coming over. We may see some really good plays in the future.
I like that. I like that. Trust your tanks. Trust your healers. Well, we're from World of Warcraft, so we're already doing that, probably to our detriment.
Also, we're voting to kick you the whole time.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Don't stand in that.
No, dude. Only tanks get voted to kick in World of Warcraft.
As we just discussed, you get full points for Murky in most cases. So we talked about Nova there. Butcher gets full meat. And you're sticky enough because all you got to do is walk in, wear him down with your hamstrings, wait for the bubble, and then charge him once the bubble's over. Great way to anti-farm a Murky there. And it works well. Blackheart's Bay, any of these maps where you can double soak and get that meat. You got a Murky too? Excellent. You'll be done that much sooner.
Cool. Cool. So I mean, personally, Kyle, has Murky struck fear in you?
He's intense, and he is going to keep me away from certain heroes.
Hmm.
Again, this is a blow to Diablo in my case, but I just love the guy, and I'm the Lord of Terror, and I get really easily tilted if I'm being, well, manhandled on the manhandler himself. So Diablo comes and goes based on the meta. I don't want to be slowed at all on Diablo. I'll get destroyed, so I need to avoid him. But, you know, someone like Leoric, not countered in my book. You got a great Wraithwalk to get out of trouble. Tyrael isn't a great place in my book right now, too. And, you know, Leoric, there's an option right there where you just think about the text. Drain Hope, sure, it's really cool to drain a tank and make them go, no, and lose all their health and penetrate the shields and mess up Chen and have top damage. But you know what? The heal is percent based for you. So be patient, wear down the Murky, let him do his bubble, then connect the Drain Hope, and you're going to heal just like you would off of a tank or anybody else. You're going to get full healing for that drain. Sure, Murky isn't giving you top numbers, but it's still going to work out great. And you have avoidance. You have a way to escape when that slow starts to stack on you.
All well said. All well said. I'm glad that you turned this into Kyle's playing more Leoric.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day. He's also on HCC a lot right now, so he's in a good place in people's minds as well. And because they're watching that environment, they're seeing a lot of Leoric deaths, which means people become more accustomed to it and okay with Leoric going down if it means the rest of the party lives, which it always should have been. But you know, if ETC becomes the main tank and everyone's in that mindset, or Muradin is always leaping away and surviving, people get tilted by Leoric going down. So you have to sort of ride the ebb and flows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking at win rates right now, I do have a theory that Burst is an excellent way to go to against Murky. Because Kael'thas is up right now. Greymane is up. And even Alarak is up a tiny bit.
Hmm.
And just being able to, without auto attacks, get rid of the pufferfish easily is going to be extremely powerful. Making sure you can just flame strike it. There it is, the flame strike. You didn't mess up your Vala auto attacks. You didn't misclick. Making sure you have that, avoiding the burden of execution and making things easier on yourself.
Hmm. I can dig. I can dig. I've had a perfectly fine time getting rid of the pufferfish on Zeratul this week. Varian not so much, but like I said, I still don't mind playing against him. I get the Alarak though, right? Like Alarak and Kael'thas make sense, not even just for pufferfish, but for a good amount of time disabling Murky from activating his bubble. You don't even need to worry about it. Most heroes, you have to wait for the bubble and then kill him. Kael'thas, you land gravity laps, he's dead. Alarak, you silence him, he's dead. They
and
get
those
to,
area effects are big enough that they'll probably grab most of the lane, the pufferfish, and Murky while you're at it.
Exactly. Especially if you're like with Kael'thas empowering it with your D. Well, all said, Kyle, thank you for bringing a dose of sanity to the troubled masses when it comes to fish people.
Absolutely. There's no reason to let this meta upset you. It is counterable. If you are going to be this person, if you're listening to the show and you're going to apply these sort of strategies to your game, say it in the draft. Say that you're on Murky babysitting. If you're Kael'thas on Tomb of the Spider Queen, great map for Kael'thas. Fantastic lane clear. destroying the spiders that come at you, able to control multiple lanes, control the point with a single flame strike that covers the whole turn in. And now you can take care of Murky with it and let your team know that they're going to be picking those 4v4s while you're off maybe doing this, but the management will help win out.
Hmm. Very cool. Well, a week from tomorrow, guys, our first clash, our first HGC clash is going down. The Western Clash will be starting next Friday, March 3rd. And this includes NA, Europe, Latin America, Australia, and New Zealand. They are all getting together for a big multi-regional throwdown and also part of a $100,000 prize pool. And we know the matchups. We know who's playing. Misfits is playing Nomia. Team 8 is playing Team Dignitas. Tempo Storm is going up against Infamous. And Fnatic is playing Gale Force Esports. Anyone here pulling for anyone specific or have a very strong opinion about who is going to take the Western Clash?
I'm excited to see Misfits and if they can continue their, I mean, ultimately undefeated sort of run right now. And it's particularly interesting to me because while they're based in Europe, they are affiliated with NBA's Miami Heat. It's a weird thing, but that sort of investment and the return on investment is really impressive and makes you wonder, what are they doing right? And is it just the funding? Is it just, you know, a manager that tells the other manager, well, this works for real sports, why don't you do it for them?
No, that's a good point. To me, I'm just like, yeah, cool. We've made it. We've achieved StarCraft 2 levels of go NA, but it's an EU team. Yeah, but it's owned by NA. It's Evil Geniuses and J-Dong all over again, man. But I mean, Misfits seems like the safe pick, right? Like, but I mean, personally, I think I'm rooting for Team 8 and Fnatic. Like, those are my two, like, I'm rooting for these guys. They're, like, my heroes right now.
I mean, Gale Force got fan, and I'm a fan, and that's where I'm looking right now, to be honest. I mean, Fnatic has a place in my heart, though. I can't ignore that.
I'm excited. I'm going to watch a bunch of these. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend if you like heroes. So the thing that is, I think, important to note for our audience, because I assume many of you here reside in the NA, we hear from multinational fans from all corners of the globe, but a lot of you are like us here in North America. The live broadcast times they're just bonkers for us. It's 3 a.m. Pacific start time most days for this Western Clash. So I'm just kind of crossing my fingers that I wake up on Sunday and the finals are just like beginning or something.
You know, you guys need a tiny infant baby. that'll make that seem like a easy time to watch stuff.
I thought you were going to say copious amounts of caffeine or an altered sleeping schedule, but
both are still applicable here.
I was about to say that.
Just because you're up for it, though, doesn't mean you're not resting your eyes. I know what you dads do.
Yeah. Don't tell my wife.
Kyle, did your dad drop you because he dozed off while coddling you when you're awake at night?
Not at all. I've just always been impressed with his ability to sit down within minutes, be completely out.
Yeah, that's a dad staple right there.
During Moana, too. What a great movie. I was having the shiny, the great songs. Passed out next to me in the theater.
Yeah, but if he's like my dad, if you tell him, "Dad, are you sleeping?" No, it's resting my eyes.
Oh, and it's he's good at it too. You'd be like, "Well, what happened?" And he tells you the whole plot of the movie. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, was that bluffing? Are you just guessing? How did you do that?
No, when you get to my age, you've just seen every plot. You've seen it all. You've seen it all. Yeah. Especially if you've seen a Pixar movie before, you can probably guess how it goes.
That's true.
Doesn't make it any less awesome. I actually haven't seen it, but whatever the case. So
it's so good, man. Anyway.
Yeah. Haven't seen it yet. I'm out of date on my Pixar movies. You wanna talk Incredibles? Let's do it. But
you just need to go on a Disney cruise, man. They show the movies 24/7. They got a theater there. You can watch Rogue One until you're sick in the face. I watched Doctor Strange until I was sick in the face.
I'll be watching Rogue One until I'm sick in the face soon enough because it's coming out soon. Hooray. But anyways, hey, there was some minor news too since we last recorded. Rumblings that the next hero was kind of leaked. Supposed leak isn't in a language I can read, so I don't know. But apparently, somebody's running around saying the next hero is going to be Protoss.
And the interesting legitimacy of this post is that it contains many of the final statements from Dustin Browder. And this production cycle, sort of ending with Lucio and the next hero, means that this will mark the end of Dustin Browder's participation in the game. And we are now moving into sort of unknown territory, which is why this sort of Protoss hint at is making everyone think, well, it's Phoenix. It's got to be Phoenix. That was Dustin Browder, you know, on Twitter saying that he was excited for that hero. All of us yelling at him.
I just miss Dustin Browder at this point. mentioning that has reminded me that I miss him tweeting. I miss our Dustin Browder tweets segment.
Right.
I could be wrong. Yeah. It should be come as a surprise to no one that in the world of StarCraft, Protoss is my least favorite of the three races. So I don't really have a burning desire for any particular Protoss heroes, but it'll probably be Phoenix, right? Like it has to be Phoenix.
I saw rumblings of Karax, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, the engineer, which could be equally interesting. I mean, if they do something with photon cannons, that would be very iconic to have on the field. Pylons, he's available in the StarCraft side missions as well. I mean, the most recent expansion, if people haven't played Legacy of the Void, is a real triumph of creativity when it comes to strategy gaming.
No, it's a good point. And now that Jeff, you've done something I didn't think possible. You've gotten me excited about a Protoss because if it's Karax and he has like base building abilities of like putting down freaking photon cannons, that sounds awesome.
Well, the first time I ever interviewed Dustin Browder and I was all jazzed about this game and asking him about, you know, what crazy, you know, Abathur, you have Murky, you have these crazy heroes. What's like another crazy? And I was throwing out some ideas that I would want, and he brought up. He said, "What about like a drone? Just play as a drone."
Oh, you mean like a probe?
Yeah, a probe. Excuse me. Yeah, just a Protoss probe. So that could be it, guys. That could be it. Just
So you just run around zapping people and building things.
I think so. Yeah, you just like you can rebuild the keeps. Maybe I don't know.
What if you drop a pylon? And then you build a gateway on top of your fort, and that lane gets extra minions in the form of zealots that just lane your minions.
Yeah, you bring in all your attacks are warping in other heroes, or not heroes, but other units. That'd be wild.
That'd be really cool. Kyle, come on, man, get into this. You're like the king of tower defense.
I think I love summoners. I really do. And I do love tower defense games. Lane clear is in a odd spot right now. And it'd be a difficult time for that hero to be introduced. But the building kind of aspect of it, certainly laying around some pylons, warping in those cannons, that'd be really cool. And Kyrax does have a lot going for him in space lasers, which Artanis is already kind of sporting. But they could do some cool stuff in there. I would be disappointed. That's the face I'm making right now for everyone listening at home. I would be disappointed if it wasn't Phoenix. And I know it's not the most creative thing for maybe for him to die and come back on the field as a Dragoon, but forget the creativity. The game was in the 90s. Let's make it happen.
I mean, personally, I really just want more, like, now that Jeff has mentioned probes, I want more just random unit, dude. Like Brightwing. Brightwing is just a fairy dragon that they gave a name. Like, give me an SCV. Give me a probe.
Yeah. I always wanted a grunt from Warcraft. You know, Righto. Show me where to kill. You know, those guys.
That'd be so good. More work.
More work. Yeah.
My hopes have already been dashed in two ways there because Kerrigan has the Ultralisk, which I wanted the Tarrasque, the named Ultralisk, to be a thing. Just beast growling all the time, kind of like Butcher does, but just horrible. And then Hunter Killer, which is a summon from Zagara, too.
Yeah, stupid Zagara, using up everything.
Ruining everything. But we've seen, though, with Brax's holdout, that just because they're summoned units doesn't mean they can't add a little bit of metal to them and make them available other places.
It's true.
No, I think that's a good point. We could still have an Ultralisk hero, Kyle. Yeah, I think that's totally possible.
We could. Zelnaga, whatever. Let's just step away from the humans. Even Ragnaros may be a little too humanoid. I just want to be on all fours biting people.
There's your sound bite.
Oh, that's great. Kyle, tell me, what in the hell's going on in Team League? I'm seeing so many tweets from people getting the most busted matchups ever.
It's very true, and we experience these ourselves. And being a casual team, varied. I mean, we're breaking the system as well. I'm in Diamond. We got Plat, Gold, Silver, and Bronze. We cover the spectrum on the Team League weekends. We're getting in there, and of course we're breaking the system a little bit, but we've fought, not this past weekend, but the last weekend when we did the show, a team of nothing but Masters and Grandmasters, and they destroyed. Absolutely. They drafted very strong, and we got crushed, and it did not feel great. I posted that picture, and many, many of you messaged me back with your own pictures of these sort of things happening. And then we also have Al Steg on Reddit here going out of his way to do some research into what's going on, because our immediate thought when seeing these things was, it must be a population issue. It must be these, as it's known, YOLO 600, that these teams, these grandmasters, are queuing up and they're waiting for such ridiculous amounts of time that the game's just going, oh, you know what, here's your game. We don't want you to wait any longer. Here's your team to fight. And it's not working out. It looks like it's not really a population issue. Which means it is all on that YOLO 600 at the moment, as this research has gone on. So for now, unless you are, and even then, it's not perfect. I've seen pictures of people, all five are gold, going up against Grandmasters right now. For now, you may want to enjoy your time elsewhere. We are in the middle of a season. Save it for the end of the season when people are placing again, when we have just people filling it out.
Wait, so you're saying it is the YOLO 600 issue, but it's not population? Aren't those the same thing?
They're not, because it's a chance. Even if the population was full, we still have these grandmasters waiting around for too long and the system saying, here you go. There's always going to be, as you increase the population, the chance would be reduced. But the fact that there is a chance is the issue in the first place.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because the population of a Grandmaster is set. It's not going to vary. There's a certain number of them and it doesn't matter. So they're not going to be placed against each other as much as they're going to have to be placed against whoever's on at that given time.
Exactly. We're looking at about 2,000 games happening per hour in Team League, which is really a fantastic number. When you only have so many Grandmasters, though, the chances that they've teamed up together are pretty low if you're queuing right now as well.
Fair enough.
Well, happened to me and my bronze friends. So, yeah.
I would say it is still a population issue. It's a population issue of master level players, I guess. I don't know. Needs to be more of them. So, also, Heroes of the Dorm started, which I missed because it's on Facebook.
You aren't the only one. Though I don't disagree with this, because I think it's really healthy that if you go over to Twitch right now and it's the weekend, you would see the cream of the crop. You'd be seeing the actual competition. And maybe Heroes of the Dorm shouldn't compete on that platform at the same time.
Man, I don't know. It's Facebook, man. I don't want to watch anything on Facebook. I don't want to go to Facebook.
Well, I'm weird. I hope that it opens the game up to people that wouldn't normally see it. I don't know if it actually is going to do that, but I hope it does.
Right, and that's really the goal here, is that you have that audience, which are they still tied? I mean, I know when I did college orientation, they were like, this was, of course, back when Facebook, you had to be a part of a school to go on Facebook as much as the verification process mattered. So there was this very big deal. Like every single little meeting I had at that orientation, the guy in front would say, and now you can go on Facebook and register yourself so you can meet all those sorts of people and start dating. And they were... It was just a part of the culture. So maybe that still exists. And maybe this is a different audience of exposure. And they're actually reaching the people they want to include in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It is weird. Like I get you. You bring up a good point of it competing directly with HGC, at least at the moment. But I don't know.
It's early rounds, right? It's super early.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's all a good point. All a good point.
You know, chat saying right now that it's live at the moment. 540 viewers on Facebook Live. That ain't bad. Hmm. If that was here on Twitch, that would look bad. So just avoiding that in the first place could be the case for us. I logged into Heroes last night, and it alerted me that I could now connect with my friends via Facebook on the actual Battle.net client. And, not for me. So it looks like this is going to continue to be a thing for Blizzard, and we're all wondering why.
Real quick question. Do you know if I can opt out of that Facebook connectivity? Because it apparently just kind of happened. I don't recall clicking anything, and it's the worst thing ever. I get in every day and there's like 15 new friend requests from people. I don't even know who they are. Like clearly we're friends on Facebook, but I don't remember when. Like, I don't know these people. I have to keep clearing out my requests.
I don't know. My friends list is full from lessons and from after show games and everything like that. So it wants me to have more, but it doesn't give any suggestions because I don't own a Facebook, but it says it's connected. It's odd.
It's weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing to add when they still haven't upped like the limit, right? Because we have a limit of friends. And
very odd.
Yeah, it's easy to hit. So, anyways, before we take some emails and wrap the show up, let's thank our patrons over at patreon.com/ITN for supporting the show. Thank you to our producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. But also, specifically, thank you to Joshua L., Sergio R., Corey K., Lisa, a.k.a. Sofrashia, who I know I see in the chat room all the time, and I'm just now realizing I don't actually know how to pronounce your handle.
Soph, that's what I do.
Okay, Soph. Thanks, Soph. Thank you. Andrew H., Michael DJ, Daniel C., I just said C, so I'm going to assume it's Daniel Craig, and Soldier Hawk. Thank you all so much for supporting Into the Nexus. We really appreciate it.
I want to have a special thank you to everybody, because if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. So thank you very much, patrons, for supporting the show.
Yeah, let's be honest. You'd come back every now and then, but...
Come back, but I don't know if you want to reveal that. I'd come back anytime you asked me to. I just sit here waiting for the show to start every Thursday. I'm hoping I could be on.
you've let the cat out of the bag. No, but it really is awesome. Like this is the first time ever. We're gonna pay Jeff. We're gonna pay a guest for coming on and spending their time on the show. So thank you, patrons. We really appreciate it. So anyways, let's wrap this up. It's time to take some emails.
Darkness stopped calling. Hold on. Darkness just texted me.
Okay, tell them I'm not here.
You can send your emails to itncast@gmail.com. And our first one today comes to us from Alex, who writes, "Hey, Garrett and Kyle," and I'll add Jeff. I've got a pretty straightforward question for you guys. Why is Tychus such a go-to hero for you right now? Nothing against him. I'm just trying to understand why he's such a common pick right now over, say, Reyner or Vala as an auto attacker. Is it purely because of the built-in giant killer? He's got a little bit of mobility. He's got a push. He's okay at lane clear. And he's got a heroic choice that's good at zoning and one that's good for increased range. But if any one or two of these things are a priority, it seems like there's someone else who does it better. Is it a matter of having one hero to be practiced up on that does all of it okay instead of having to have a bigger stable of perfect picks ready to go at all times? Maybe it's just because he's the only ranged auto attacker I can think of where Kyle can pick a skin to be a big monster. Actually, that's Alex, you hit the nail on the head in that last sentence for why Kyle started playing Tychus in the first place.
Yeah, I didn't touch him until I got that infested skin. And even then, he didn't click with me. It was just... I remember dissing, and Kristen is constantly, every time I walk out of this room and I'm like, yeah, that was a great game on Tychus. She's like, you know, you used to hate him. I'm like, I remember. I know. I thought he was the worst thing on earth. Really, you have to sort of go back to when Illidan was reigning supreme and there wasn't many good ways to stop him. And the best way in that meta to deal with Illidan was to make sure you could vary your types of damage from auto attacks to spell damage. And Tychus works so well there because overkill, your machine gun as you move around, allowed you to do damage through evasion, which blocks all basic attacks. And it had a duration that was equal to or greater than the duration of evasion. So it was a fantastic way to deal with Illidan when he was extremely powerful. He's also got a fantastic win rate right now, which means he's pickable and people aren't going to be upset at it. It's an early pick. It stops double tank from evolving. It stops Sonya in many cases. He's a great counter to Sonya right now, who is still doing very well. But as I said at the top of the show, I love tanking. I understand tanking. And being a tank buster really means I can apply that knowledge and I know exactly when the tanks have made a mistake and they're out of position. I can punish them. With the front line gone, the back line usually falls apart. Morale starts dropping on the enemy team very fast. And I find him to be extremely useful for that.
Mm. I have to give a hat tip to Echoes in the chat room because you know I love my car analogies. Echo says he's the BMW 3 Series of Sustain Assassins. Does everything pretty well. But no, I mean, you bring up, obviously, Kyle, you bring up all good points. I don't disagree with any of them. I mean, for me, it's just, he's just safe. He's a safe pick. Like, when you see Tychus, you don't go, oh, I know what I'm going to pick to punish that. You don't have that, right? There's not really a thought in your head that, you know, is it like a hard rock, paper, scissors counter to Tychus?
I'll tell you for me who it is, and that's Artanis.
Mm.
I do not want to be Tychus anywhere close to Artanis because I'm always trying to find the superior position so I can finally stop moving. Tychus can't stutter step. You're going to lose tons of DPS doing so. And Malfurion is another one, too, that just punishes standing still.
That's true. I mean, you can just wait until the swap comes out against Artanis. That's what I do on Tychus.
And you have the shift to dodge, and you have tools, of course, but I would rather be, in those cases, someone with a more immediate way to maintain my movement, like even a Vala or even a Zul'jin, because I'm going to be able to stutter step.
That's a good point. That being said, I'm not playing him as much right now. I mean, a lot of, I think, Tychus's picks came out of the double warrior meta. And I think the more we shift away from that, the less we will see Tychus.
I disagree. I think double warrior is harder for Tychus because he often has two targets that are coming at him. And while you may have fantastic stacks, it usually means that you're not really affecting the enemy composition. Whereas if you take out a main tank by itself, you're good to go. And that's actually another thing right there. When you go back in time, you also think about ETC and mosh pit and what that used to mean to us. Just the word, if you played in beta, mosh pit is a horrifying thing. And grenade interrupted that.
Yeah. He's never a hero that clicked with me. I tried playing him, especially after you guys were talking about him so much. Just, you know, some heroes work with you and some heroes just don't. And I've never clicked with Tychus. Maybe someday.
And you have little ways to really mess with and bully a large chunk of the heroes population, like the selectable heroes in the game. The moment it clicked for me was when Kyle told me to take the self-heal on the trait and explain, like, dude, this is so subtle. You're inviting people to make mistakes. You're inviting people to 1v1 you that cannot win because of that self-heal. You activate it, you're doing bonus damage to them, and you're healing off of it. And they've just made a mistake. That's when it clicked for me.
Hmm. Good tip.
It's a great way to think about it. And the other thing that really, you know, this what propelled me to Masters, basically marathoning Tychus last season, was learning that Overkill is fantastic lane clear and connecting it onto that middle minion or the back archer, depending if you're going for the orb or you're just clearing out the lane, is a great way to just take care of it. And Rainer can't do that. Vala can't take care of a lane with that sort of speed while maintaining one of their core cooldowns. And that's why Tychus is so amazing at that. Don't use your grenade for that lane clear. You're going to need it. You might need it to snag that kill that limps away or to interrupt the ETC who comes barreling out of the bush next to you.
Yeah. I would like to go a little deeper because now I'm thinking, especially after reading chat and hearing your thoughts, Kyle, on, you know, Tychus being weaker against double tank comp. I think for me, like the more I think about it now, you're definitely on point, but I think it was when Diablo was part of a double tank comp and it was, you know, less like double bruiser. Because double bruisers definitely kind of suck as Tychus. Mm. But when Diablo was one of them, I didn't care. It could be all tanks. If there was a Diablo, I was like, cool, I'm going Tychus.
It's a great way to counter Diablo, certainly. I talked about Artanis there. Dahaka is a huge problem for Tychus because he'll just jump underground from the beginning of the game. That's not something that he has to spec into later on. You're probably going to take in the rhythm, and Dahaka says, nah, no stacks for you. Oh, you burn through my health bar? Well, my trait lets me heal to full health, you see. Oh, you burn through my second full health bar? Let me just go ahead and hearth back. I'll be right in the battlefield. I'll dig on out. And you just have zero effectiveness. And you're standing still, which means he connects the drag on you. And you're going for a ride and you will be dead. Granted, to sing Tychus' praises more, you got Odin. It gives you unstoppable while you transform. That means you can counter chromies that are going to time reverse you.
Mm.
You can just stand while you're unstoppable, transform in that Odin, and then join. In fact, in Pro scene, we're seeing a very interesting spec for Tychus. They're not going the heal because they're not forcing mistakes like we do. We look a little juicy. They come for us by themselves. We end up healing. We destroy them. And it feels great. Pros aren't going to make that mistake. So they actually go spray and pray at 13 to increase their overkill range. And then they're doing armor piercing rounds at 16 instead of the grenade giant killer to increase their damage on the primary target. And they basically spec Tychus further and further back into the line and almost always take Odin right now, mainly because in a focused team environment, you're going to see people focus down things that are summons. And because it happens with such great speed, it's not one person slowly, you know, maybe that Rainer has to lock on to the laser drill for 20 seconds straight, you know, and eventually deals with it. No, it's going to be leaming. Everyone just jumps the laser and deals with it very fast.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's one of the big things about playing Tychus, right? Is like knowing when and where to drop the drill.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just not a correct answer, depending on the comp you're facing. But yeah, I don't know. He's still like one of my go-tos. He's still a comfort pick. I mean, I'm not picking him a lot right now. I mean, the last week for me has really been about like variety and just kind of like forcing myself to go play new things. I got inspired by watching HGC. So I haven't been going back to Tychus, but I think he's always going to be there for me. I think he's going to almost be like Arthas at this point. I think I've played enough of Tychus that unless he gets a wild rework, I'll be like, yeah, I'll pick him. It'll be fine. Let's do this.
Good time for Arthas, though.
It is
Lucio around.
Very, very good point.
Movement speed, right? Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Land and silences on Alarak too is still really good against. That feels good against Lucio.
Though they're still a little proud of their movement speed. I'm looking forward to the eventual dropout of the casual Lucios to the extreme ones, because I'm just like, heal me, please. You have a second one. I know this is sweet. I know I've been moving fast for a while, but I just want to see those sixes fly.
Yeah. Very good point. Well, you'll love my Lucio then, Kyle. Maybe I'll Lucio for you tonight.
Should.
Blood Anubis writes in and says, hey guys, I had a question about positioning. It's pretty much just that. I've read this ahead of time. I have been trying to get better with heroes such as Vala. However, I find myself out of position a lot during fights. Sometimes it is due to losing track of myself and ending up in the middle of the fight. I have switched to colorblind mode to make my health bar yellow in hopes of standing out a little better. Do you have any tips or suggestions on how to get better at positioning? Thanks for all you do. Kyle, I feel like having done as many coaching sessions as you have, that you probably have like a catchphrase about positioning at this point.
The biggest one is going to be making sure you have the core comps that we've discussed in the past, and that there is people in position to react to you when you talk about general positioning. Now, making sure that if you're going to make an engagement and they're powerful, that there's a healer who will eventually be in range when you get there. ETCs, mosh pit when there's people in range to actually take advantage of it, unless there's a Nova and they're going to orbital strike and it'll be awesome and you're three levels up. Then things get kind of stupid. With Vala, if you're having positioning troubles, my first thought is you're probably vaulting backwards to dodge most things when you should be vaulting sideways and ideally kind of diagonal forward. If a skill shot's coming towards you, always vault sideways so that you don't waste the bonus damage that you get from the vault. And realize, too, if you're coming back to Vala after a long time, that that's a feature now. Vault gives you a bonus attack based on how much hatred you're stacking at the moment. And if you can't readjust your position to get in range within 2 seconds, you're going to lose that feature of the text. So outside of positioning, talk about value a lot. And the key thing about value is making sure that you take advantage of every single bit of the text. So vault forward sideways-ish. Don't waste that. Blizzard comes down on you. I want to run away too, but you're going to vault backwards and then spend the next 3-4 seconds walking back in, and you have lost a ridiculous amount of DPS.
Yeah, that was a tip you gave me, and my Vala play improved tremendously. It, strafe with your vault. Do not retreat with your vault. Helps a lot. And I agree with everyone in the chat room yelling spacebar in all caps right now. I'm surprised how many people don't do this. Tap spacebar or hold it down. First of all, if you're using locked camera, I'm not even sure how you're having this issue, although I can't stand locked camera personally. But if you are like the rest of us not using a locked camera position, if you just want to recenter your camera very quickly on your hero, just tap spacebar. It will snap to the dead center of where your hero currently is. And if you hold it down, it'll
keep it. A beam of light will shoot out of your hero so you can see where he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you use this a lot, Jeff?
I don't, but I don't have that particular problem. But I definitely use spacebar all the time to snap to my hero. But I don't use the light, the big beam in the sky feature very often. I will admit, sadly, that I sometimes lose my cursor, which I find frustrating too often. It doesn't happen a lot, but every once in a while I'll just lose my cursor and click inadvertently in a place that I didn't mean to because I didn't know where my mouse cursor was.
Are you quick casting right now, Jeff?
All the time, yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Because I used to lose my cursor quite a bit as well, but when I moved over to quick casting, because my mouse already had to be in the position of where I was going to shoot it in the first place.
Yeah.
I found that greatly increased my awareness. But during that transition time, I went to the options and I adjusted my cursor size to full. And full is, not really joking here, like probably a 15th of your screen. Like it will cover your character and half your team. You can get this thing so darn big and it helps a lot.
Huh. Maybe I'll try that. Honestly, it doesn't happen a lot, but the few times that it does happen, it's very frustrating. I'm like, I thought I was clicking there and I lost track of the cursor. But yeah, I'm a pure quick caster. I don't even get as granular as I should about specific heroes. I wish that I would take the time. I don't find myself having the patience to go in and edit specific characters, specific traits or, specific skills to do quick cast or not quick cast. But I can't live not quick casting.
If you want to do it, do it in quick match and do it during the countdown when the gates are up. Because when you go into quick cast settings, it will automatically take you to the hero you are currently playing.
Oh, really?
This is actually how I have customized all of my quick cast, not quick cast things. Is just over time being there, like, oh, I'm on Jaina. Oh God, I do not want Ring of Frost on quick cast. And so on and so forth. Recently, again, trying Ghoul Dan this weekend or this week. I've really never touched the guy. I've been playing him and realized I hate corruption on Quick Cast. I cannot stand it.
That's interesting. Well, Ghoul Dan, I can see that. That's Ghoul Dan is a really interesting exercise in being better at positioning because you're dealing with your body angle equaling what you're about to do with corruption.
Yes.
Very much in the same way Tassadar works with Force Wall. If you're not aware of where yourself is, you're going to cast some very awful and suboptimal Force Walls in front of you.
It's a very good point. All very good points. But yeah, so
what Rag, you know, the bowling ball on Rag is that same kind of thing.
Yeah, that one doesn't, for whatever reason, that one doesn't bother me on quick casting like corruption does. I don't know why. Can't put my finger on why. But anyways, Blood Anubis, everything Kyle just said, and spacebar. to boil things down.
I should stop this, but one of my favorite things in the world is to fall stat and then hold the spacebar. I should probably be looking where I'm going to land, but I just love the view.
Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it? I don't like fall stat at all. That's the only thing I like about it. I'm like, ooh, it's pretty.
Dude, you know what's really fun, too, is on ETC when he stage dives, they literally animate him coming from behind the back of the camera. And you can literally see him giant in your screen for a few frames before he lands. But again, shouldn't be doing that.
Didn't know that. So it's like the old Ninja Turtles arcade games where like the guys climb out the screen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, that's
the sad part is in HGC, they're all zoomed out, so you can see him chilling up there for about half a second while the cast animation goes.
Yeah, actually, I should have assumed that because Kyle, we used to see that stuff all the time when we used to watch StarCraft esports. Like when a nuke would launch, they would follow it with the camera, and the thing just keeps going and going until it's bigger than the entire screen real estate.
I miss those. The cameramen in StarCraft were.
Specifically,
we're a special breed.
Specifically, the GSL cameramen. The cameramen working for GSL over at GOM TV were nuts. Just master craft, like beautiful, beautiful camera work for an esport. But, anyways, I don't know why I talk about it like it's over. There's, you know, StarCraft 2 still going strong. I just have too many things to watch now. But
it's tough. It Legacy of the Void. Did a lot to bizify the game.
Bizify
word, yeah.
Making it busy or making it business oriented. I'm not sure.
Just to keep the action going all the time. But you lost that old heart, and it's a different experience now. Mm. And by old heart, I mean, you know, Tasteless Artosis joking about X-Men, but there was a slow sort of chess-like quality to it that's gone missing now.
Oh, dude, that was my favorite thing about GSL was, you know, the opening 5 minutes of any StarCraft II game, we got to hear what Tasteless and Artosis thought of whatever movie came out that weekend.
Yeah, what they had for breakfast. They ran out of things to talk about. It's true. And the fix was for the better in the end, but it was a tonal shift.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode since we're going down GOM TV memory lane. Thank you, everyone who wrote in. Again, keep sending your emails to itncast@gmail.com. Thank you again to our badass patrons over at patreon.com/ITN for supporting our show and helping us reach our goal to have Mr. Jeff Gannata on once a month until he tires of speaking to us or Heroes of the Storm implodes.
Or the sun goes cold, whichever comes first.
Exactly. Exactly. Keep those iTunes reviews coming, folks, if you're listening on iTunes. We are, as always, produced by amove.tv and our Patreon producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob. You can get our Into the Nexus t-shirt over at shirts.amove.tv. Custom etched glassware can be found over at etched.amove.tv. You can catch us live Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on twitch.tv/amove.tv or on alphageekmedia.com. And you can follow the show on Twitter at ITNcast. Finally, big shout out to Gorath, who did our intro music, and BrianGriffithMusic.com, who did our outro music. Some really great work by those guys. Jeff, you're guesting today. You're up first. Where can folks find you around the interwebs, possibly talking about video games, movies, concerns of a certain type?
So many ways. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Cannata, which is spelled with two N's and one T. And I do have a video game show called DLC, which you can find at 5by5.tv/DLC. I do a movie TV podcast called the Slash Filmcast, which you can find at slashfilmcast.com. And I do a comedy science show called We Have Concerns, which you can find at wehaveconcerns.com.
Can you give me like a 5-word review of Logan? Because I'm very excited to see it.
It's very, very rated R.
Nice.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. As I saw it on there, I was like, oh, well, this would be cool. It'll be nice to finally have like actual blood when he cuts somebody. But it seems like they really went for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's, yeah. A hero that literally has knives coming out of his hands should have always been like this. I mean, they should never have been PG or PG-13.
All right. Very cool.
Fantastic.
And if you want to hear more, go check out Slash Filmcast. Kyle, where can folks find your work?
Everything's going to fire up Monday. Of course, I want to point people back to the Heroes Charity Brawl happening this Saturday. Check it out. It's going to be awesome fun. My streams will start up Monday. Until then, you should really go check out Paladin Pals. It was such a perfect environment. And John had such great questions. If you are at all interested in tanking, positioning, and how to zone, really check out this video. It really just embodies everything that I talked about here today as well, but in motion. There's no substitute for seeing it happening at real time. And one of the real things that needs to be talked about there is we have a lot of newer Johanna players right now because people are branching out, trying to find new ways to tank and waiting for that moment of committal. If that's a word, I'm making up a lot of words today. The same goes for Varian. If you're parrying, make sure that before you blind, that target is actually going to attack you for some time. I see so many blinds roll out. Here comes Vala. Blind. Well, she wasn't going to do anything anyway. I mean, sure, she now walked away. You maybe broke an engagement that could have happened, but make sure she's already applying the auto attacks before you blind out so that she's actually missing DPS and making a mistake that you then punish with the stuns.
Yeah, and vice versa. If you are the Vala, hit them with an auto attack or two, anticipate the blind, and go in knowing you're going to leave. You're just baiting it out, and then re-engage. I've been doing this all week on Varian against Zarya's. I go in, smack the Zarya once, they pop their shield. I just slowly walk away like, meh, I didn't want to be here anyway, and then I charge back in and kick their butt.
Isn't that, honestly, I think one of the simplest and most profound things you can tell to a new player of a MOBA is don't pop all of your skills right away. Like, I think that's you want to run into a fight and I have these cool things to do. I'm going to do them all right away and get you with them. But the simplest thing to do to improve your play if you're really new to these kinds of games is wait a second and don't use all your skills right away.
I mean, if you're like green as green, this is your first MOBA, I would not say that to you, because to be effective, you need to know what you're up against and what you're baiting out. I would say at first, yes, use them all, please, because I want you to land those skill shots when you actually go to use them. But beyond that, yes, once we get into that, it's like, okay, cool. This is Zarya. She has shields. They ruin everyone's day. Bait them out. and so on and so forth.
We have a lot of very flashy, very cool melee heroes that are just impossible to play unless you're constantly tallying in your head which abilities have been used and when you can actually make a commitment.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's very important to look at that loading screen. You know, look at those heroes and just start thinking hard. Okay, that guy, what am I worried about? I'm worried about this. That hero, what am I worried about? I'm worried about this. And be on the constant lookout for those things when you're on the battleground.
And when you get into the game, too, if you're Tassadar, start spamming that shield on Vala, not because she needs it. You know you're going to do it later in the team fight. Fire up your APM for one, which is very important, but communicate to that Vala that you will be protecting her this entire time, regardless of how that opening game starts.
Good point. I like that. Yeah, the dog pile in the middle is a good team building exercise. You can declare your relationship status basically in those opening minutes. Like, you are my friend. We're buddies. Pick up what I'm laying down, sir. Or madam.
It's insanely important to get out there, start judging. You know, gate opens, participate in that middle fight. Go get that sight tower. We all know it's stupid, but actually, no. It's insanely important because you're with who knows else. If you're with friends, do your own strategy. Everyone get in lane. Whatever. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, now that we've done a mini strategy segment, let's move towards the end here. You can find me on Twitter at GarrettArt. There are two R's and two T's in Garrett. Also, I want to promote Heroes Charity Brawl as well. Go to heroescharitybrawl.com right now. Go right now to find out all the information about it, to watch it, to donate, to make a wish. Other than that, there's all kinds of things happening at amove.tv. Go check out my solo show, The Angry Nerd, because an old producer of ours from the StarCast days, he used to work behind the scenes, Patrick, aka Octane Pro, came by because I brought up Cars a couple weeks on the show a couple weeks ago, and I got a million emails about Cars, and he's a big car nut, so we had a little car chat on my solo show, which wasn't so solo because I had a guest, but nonetheless, check it out. It's called The Angry Nerd.
Like Lightning McQueen Cars? Is that what you're talking about?
No, like, you know, going to car shows and stuff like that.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. Oh, no, the worst Pixar movie? That's what you want me to talk about?
Well, no, he's got a kid now. It's a great Pixar movie.
That's right.
Does he care about cars yet?
I'm not saying it's...
No, he's too young, so, but soon.
I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying in the pantheon of Pixar's, you know, many, many, many films, it's the ones that I want to watch the least.
I'd still rather watch it than read anything about actual cars.
You're not alone, and that's why I tend to not bring it up, except every now and then on this show as an analogy. But if nothing else, I try to wrap it up in a Fast and the Furious bow, because, you know, at least Vin Diesel can make anything semi-palatable. So, anyways, that's going to do it for this episode. Jeff, thank you for joining us again. We'll see you next month. Kyle, I'm so glad you're back and safe. And until next time, good luck and have fun.
Take care.